I joined the media industry when there's a Chinese wall between editors in newsrooms and salespeople in a different floor in a glass box, fighting about why you can't say the car is bad in the motoring section because we need some advertising money today. I've solely watched that Chinese wall dissipate and disappear, where the editor would come to the sales guy saying, "Where is that VW advertising? We're going to do an article that's quite kind on their vehicle this month." I have watched the iteration of print being one of the strongest, most trusted, most sold media items in the market become completely decimated by digital. Quite an interesting thing to watch, right? I am an 80s baby raised in the 90s, which means that I was raised on TV dinners, on primetime television, on hit sitcoms, on the evolution of what is now called reality TV, or in this room, unscripted series. I am one of those really interesting people who have watched this evolution happen and have worked in each individual organization who has been massively impacted. I've worked in broadcasting, I've worked in cinema, I've worked in hallways where we would refuse to acknowledge piracy. In a world where people were selling DVDs to Blockbuster content at the traffic light. But in our boardrooms, we would not make the decisions that acknowledged piracy is a thing, which, by the way, is good and bad. There's a hunger to consume your content with an issue of access. Those dots were never connected because we never acknowledged that the elephant in the room who's eating our lunch is there. What I find very interesting in the terms that I've said today is that actually, I don't think we realize the power you have. I don't think you realize the power of having an audience, of having content that speaks not only to the mind, but to the heart of your audience in the language they fully understand, in content spaces that matter to them at their core. So anyway, that's a little preaching thing. I'll keep things light and easy. I've got some numbers. I'll keep them light and simple. And please interact with me. If you disagree with me, put your hand up and disagree with me. But what I do find very interesting, I've got some notes here, is how similar all our markets are and how different all our markets are at the same time. And I want to point out one very interesting thing is NBC seems to have NBC problems. SABC has SABC problems. All of us have a multi-choice problem. All of us have a YouTube problem. And the difference is in those organizations, they are allowed to think bigger. They are allowed to think of SADC as a partnership, which I thought was an amazing statement that opened us today. They're allowed to think, if I can't reach scale because my population numbers in Namibia is too small, maybe I can reach scale if I partner with all of SADC or all of Africa to scale up this audience in a multi-language environment. I thought it was very interesting. But what is the state of play, right? What is the state of play in the space, right? Is OTT a trend? Is OTT still growing? Is this data thing really as prohibitive as we think it is? Are we all scrolling in our phones right now? Do we all have Instagram downloaded? Do we all have Facebook downloaded? Do we all have TikTok downloaded? Do we all have YouTube downloaded? If the answer is yes, in this room, it's clearly not a trend, it's a reality. Let's talk about the international players in the space. Very recently, an American media moment has happened. It's called the Super Bowl. Happened once a year. It's where the Americans believe the whole world stops to watch a sport no one cares about, where they all wear protective gear to pretend they are strong and they ignore that, rugby exists. And every single year, you'll watch every single American news outlet speak about how this is the biggest media moment in the world. Right? I also, often in spaces, I spend a lot of time saying, by the way, guys, Africa is a continent. We have 52, 54 states, depending on which side of the political divide you are, which means we have multiple nuances within the space. In America, the whole world is North America, specifically the USA, which is a fallacy. And why I want to share this with you is because it's really, really important. Netflix, Amazon, these guys are competitors to a very small degree. Because even at their best performing numbers ever, ever, the African reach is still less than 10 million people. That's Netflix. The South African reach in the biggest South African market, is less than 2 million people. Now, into perspective, we have 67 million people in the population. The Netflix subscription is less than 2 million people in the space. And given by some accounts, given accounting for churn, at any given month, only billing 1 million people at any given time. Gives you a real prospect, an idea in terms of the scale of the competitor. Their marketing is fantastic. The reality of the size of audience is a very different reality. So yesterday, I don't see the gent in the room today. There was made reference to this very spectacular fail. So there's a couple of things they mentioned yesterday. One, I think we all know, Amazon has said they are no longer commissioning and investing in the South African or African market. Let's just take a moment of silence to recognize the spectacular failure, right? Amazon ultimately is a retail business, so we understand that video is not their bread and butter, but to succeed in video in the space, you need local content. And this is not an African reality, this is a global reality. If you're in France, you do French content. If you're in America, you do American content. But only here, because of the decades of how pay TV has imported and localized international content, is it understood to be a reality that to make a success of an OTT service, import what people think is culturally nuanced in America, you know, Super Bowl, suddenly resonates with every local individual in an African market. Spectacular fail. So let's talk about Disney. Anybody remember when Disney launched? Did anyone pay attention to the headlines? They were the quickest to 200 million global users. Remember that headline? Beautiful headline. It actually rocked the market so badly, it knocked back Netflix's share price, saying that the crown is finally going to be handed over because here Disney's coming. They have a massive library. They appeal to all ages of the market, and they are the fastest to 200 million users. How did they do that? They spent the first 18 months of the launch giving away free subscriptions. And one of the key markets in which they had scale was India. They partnered with Star. They gave away 12 months worth of Disney subscriptions, and it inflated their numbers. The partner they had in the Indian market was very interesting because he had proposed saying, if you want to grab hold of the Indian market, you need to have a foothold in a cultural Indian piece of content to grab a hold to and stay engaged with. That piece of content was the Indian Premier League. It is one of the top 10 broadcasted properties in the world. The Indian Premier League is literally a sporting religion in India. Right? It is far bigger than Chiefs and Pirates locally. It is literally a sporting religion. Disney said no. This gentleman took this property, rolled out into his own streaming service, paid the money for the IPL, and in less than 12 months, overshot Disney in the Indian market. Spectacular fail. The lesson, local content, cultural nuance, and audience always wins. The arrogance of our international players coming here to just deliver their content and expecting an instant audience, that's gone. And in fact, if you get the South African case study, if you get a top 20 shows at every single month of any year, the top 20 shows are all the telenovelas from free-to-air broadcasters. They have the biggest audience across the board. In the last 3 years, we at Reach Africa have tracked the biggest audience of those reported streaming shows, and even then, the biggest streaming shows are from local content players. Not imported Game of Thrones, not House of Dragons, not Stranger Things on Netflix. Local content in local language. So let's talk about how data is true, but not entirely. Data costs are expensive. Video doesn't work. Smart devices, limited. And of course, no consumer ever in the world has ever said, I want to pay more for the same thing, right? So if it's available for free, we will consume it for free. That's a fact. We will not pay more to watch the same thing just because. We will consume it for free. So That's the facts, right? This is the facts we hear in every hallway, in every discussion, in everything that involves OTT, internet, or content consumption. These are the four points that come up over and over again. And let's talk about why TV works. So often when I have OTT discussions, people don't talk about why TV works. People talk about a lot of TV's challenges, right? So I think, I don't know if SABC is still in the room, but yesterday they made a point that TV in South Africa arrived officially in 76, delayed primarily because the apartheid government did not want media to be masses. 76, we are now in 2024, right? And probably the last 20 years has seen some of the most big shifting changes in terms of how content as a whole is consumed. Given the fact that we have a supercomputer in our pocket, it's got an interesting thing. But everywhere in the world, just by the way, TV is still the leading distributing service. TV still garners the largest audience. And in fact, the Super Bowl example I gave earlier, more money is made on TV broadcasting advertising than selling the NFL ticket, which is now currently owned by Amazon, by the way, as a real interesting example of this. The barrier that a lot of broadcasters have is that there's 100 or sometimes 1,000-to-1 ratio in terms of revenue on television and revenue in digital. But why does it work, right? TV solved for access. So I think we've spoken at length about making content available at a cost-effective manner. It's also community-led. There are stories and shows that run for season after season after season after season, because those shows are no longer just a story on TV. They are an essential part of that community's thread. They are a story we connect on tomorrow over coffee. They are the story we connect on while we commute to work. They are characters that we affiliate towards because they see ourselves in those spaces. It's anchored in our local content, in our local language. That's why TV works. So we played some, I don't know, is it called Kwaito? Is it called I'm a Piano? I'm not really sure. I just know it's our music. And what's interesting about music is that no one ever cites these cases to music. Have you ever noticed that? Because music is the closest thing to privatized, expensive content production in small snippets, which marries to what YouTube or social media has to sort of user-generated content, right? Music is the closest thing you get to high-quality, individually produced content. It's also highly local and specialized in each market. Now, what's interesting about this is that if you look at music streaming services, and I know we've got some radio in the room, but if you look at music streaming services, Spotify is a great example. Spotify is the biggest streaming service on earth, right? They are also have a mixed income breakdown. They are both AVOD and SVOD, right? Did you know 70% of Spotify's income is AVOD, not subscription? It's funded primarily through advertising. But what's really interesting for this case study is that it only works once they sign the local record companies on board to launch into market. Because when we have massive I'm a Piano or Tyler Water winning awards or Afro Beats taking over the world, that's not us imitating the US content, that's us expressing and sharing our content. And that's where it's a really interesting space in terms of how we put that through. Now, if the space is not growing, if this trend is something we need to be a little bit, you know, cautious of and prepare for because data crosses are so prohibitive, it's quite interesting to see this is just the South African picture right now. And I couldn't actually fit all of them on the slide. That's how busy the space is at the very moment in terms of how many streaming services, how many OTT services are prepping for this next world, this next consumer. And I think what's really interesting about this, and I want to share this with you. I'm going to try and move it around with the mic. SABC Plus, Vida, FIFA Plus, and EVOD are the only ones on that list targeting a mass audience. targeting an audience which is completely underserved by the international imports. They're also the only ones that offer free options and diversified income options, meaning that broadcasters out there have a huge opportunity, because this top 1% market stepped out, guys, stepped out. There's no more growth for these global players. There's no more growth for them, right? Which is why you see cutting back of investment in productions. It's why you see this, the increasing of monthly subscription rates. Why? They can't fund their process anymore through growth. They've got to increment, find ways to increment, increase cost, and similarly at the same time, cut back on the cost on the side, make sure I can save here and earn more from the customer. So let's talk about innovation, African innovation in an African market. So we obviously connect dots that we see across the board. So let's talk about African innovation. As you go, there are telcos in the house that will talk about, you know, some of the very interesting innovations. But I think pay as you go, and then obviously the SMS, short message service. I know we're all on WhatsApp, but short message service is also a South African innovation. So is pay as you go, and it's quite an interesting one. Those same barriers, those same necessities that drove those innovation, are the same necessities that will drive our industry forward today. Because one, pay as you go, why do we need it? The postpaid environment was top 1% and corporate only. It meant that the mass market was completely excluded from this mobile phone revolution that was happening globally. We had to find an African solution to access this mobile market. And the answer was pay as you go. I'm old enough to remember Yebo Gogo from Vodacom. But I'm quite interesting. What I also find very interesting is that I remember at the initial launch, the smallest increment in the South African market as pay-as-you-go was 29 Rand. Anybody that does any pricing strategies will understand why it wasn't 30, but 29 Rand. The smallest increment you can buy a pay-as-you-go voucher today is $3. Right? To give an additional stat, in South Africa, the informal market contributes $100 billion to an economy. $100 billion. Informal market, not payslip, not SARS, not formal. I'm talking about in the rural townships, the informal market is almost 30% of our entire economy. Why is this important? Everybody here who's grown up in an African environment knows that income as a concept is not a guaranteed monthly thing. In fact, it's not a guaranteed weekly thing. It's not a guaranteed daily thing. So when you're looking at these services and exploring options, cost increments, that has to take an African innovation and apply it. And by the way, I think VOD, a non-committal monthly plugin, is a version of pay-as-you-go. I've got clients like Vue, for example, who do a daily thing coupled with data. You pay, I think it's $7 a day with MTN, and you can stream for 24 hours nonstop at will on the platform, solving for daily income solutions. That's a very interesting space. And then another sort of less known fact spoken about is that in many cases, telcos, through a lending business, are bigger than most South African banks. 30% of most prepaid data sold in this country is sold on credit. Buy now, pay later. Effectively making telcos a bank. And then in the African context, I know we've all been familiar with this screen sharing, limited screen sharing. Every viewing experience in Africa is a shared viewing experience. It's about community. So let's look at the real numbers, right? Fast facts. What matters? OTT, CTV is a trend. Yes. Well, actually, no. These numbers are just South Africa. We've got 25.8 million monthly active users who tune into YouTube a month. The average viewing time is 48 minutes per day, which means that I'm not saying all 25 million tunes in every single day, but if you look at that number, that's bigger than most broadcasters. Fact. YouTube, from an advertising perspective, from a cost per thousand perspective, is on parity with television, which means that it's not more expensive to advertise within an environment anymore because they've now reached scale. Not a brand safe environment, fair enough. But what's quite interesting is that people forget that, yes, on YouTube, you tune in for a self-help video or a piece of research or a piece of this, but ultimately, we're only talking about intent. When the numbers indicate that 48 minutes a day using YouTube tells you that the appetite is there, the consumption is there, and the not only the impetus, but the market's already playing in the sandbox. Don't get me wrong, 5 hours on TV, you're way ahead. But almost an hour on digital puts it into perspective. Data costs, expensive. Every 2 years, we see a decline about 30%. That's happening already. In South Africa, we have got trends. We are quite far behind. DTT will happen towards the end of this year, which will happen, which means another 30 to 40% in a decline in data costs in the next 12 months, right? And you look at Vue, EVOD, and DSTV Stream, previously DSTV Now, they're already seeing 300 million plus hours of content consumed per month in their environments, right? 300 million, guys. Guys are spending their time there, right? And again, I think someone mentioned, Nika, I think you mentioned that you've ditched your decoder or ditched pay TV for stream, right? So the first lamb for slaughter of OTT will be pay TV, right? And pay TV has been stealing the lunch of free-to-air and public broadcasters for a long, long time. From an advertising dollar investment perspective, they've been leading the way for a while. They will be the first lamb for slaughter. They're the first ones to be watched. And by the way, probably before we have this month end, or probably before the March, before this quarter ends, we might just see a new owner of MultiChoice, which is quite an interesting factor. And that tells you again, when you balance things like currency devaluation and then easy access to a scalable audience, the easiest way in the African market is just to buy it. Not to sit there and build it step by step over years and years of toiling and years of investing. It's to actually buy it, which is quite an interesting strategy. So the old streaming model, what does it look like, right? First, historically, acquire and implement an historic library of popular shows we used to watch way back when. This also established a new way of watching. I don't know if you guys remember, we went from watching to binging. The hashtag Netflix and chill was born out of this era, where we could just sit there and watch episode after episode. The driving to growth through new acquisitions and licensing agreements on the back end. So, right, the growth in each market capped out very quickly, but if you can move into new markets, new regions, new countries, that sort of drove this growth. The loyalty lock-ins, right? Everybody's familiar with the sort of 2 weeks free and then watch. The dirty little secret is there's probably a 40% churn on the back end. So this the cycle and cost per acquisition is a continuous cycle that goes right through. And that churn has meant that how do we balance these things going forward? Because now if you're Netflix has the absolute ceiling of their growth globally, right? If they had the absolute ceiling globally of their growth and they had less than 10 million in Africa, African content players has a massive opportunity to sort of get into the space and move it forward. But now you'll see things like their costs go up, their content investment goes down, the frustration of nothing to watch or nothing for me to watch. My wife's new frustration is best is there's nothing in English. Why is everything Japanese? Right? Quite an interesting space to be in because they've tapped out on how they can invest in new content. And for players in this room, for players in this market, where you have content, where you have an understanding of an audience, the nuances, the cultural plays, and what's really popping on the streets that they can't do from Silicon Valley. They can't understand from Silicon Valley. And in fact, they've reached a point in their investor cycle, their bubble, where pure subscription growth is no longer enough. They need to prove profit. Right? It's a really interesting thing because everybody here spoke about we've got to make this business viable before you move to the next step. Where they, because they had lots of VC money, they could just invest at a loss. Mind you, Netflix is 23 years old. They hit profit for the first time last year in August. Give me an idea of how long an investment this really is. So some of the learnings. In music, we learned
That hype is great. Game of Thrones marketing is great. $500 million investments into Star Wars from a marketing perspective is great. It's not African, right? Star Wars is one of the biggest franchises in the world, just not in Africa. It's Disney's prime gem, right? After Star Wars is Marvel. I come from cinema. Marvel did wonders for cinema. Black Panther did more. Understanding that hype and marketing is one thing, and community and shared value and tapping into existing stories, that's how you build an audience. So really understanding how Africans consume, understanding that next step of what it means in terms of how consumption actually works in the real world on the African ground is this step. So we've got dollar-based food pricing, moving into the space where free works. Advertising and advertisers are hungry for this. To give you an idea, one of the businesses we champion, we joined to sell advertising for a platform called View.com. At the time, MultiChoice through DSTV Now, at that point, now DSTV Stream, as well as Showmax, had an 8-year head start. We surpassed their revenue in a year and a half. We at this point do twice the amount of revenue in streaming than they do. Why? The View partner has focused specifically on local content, not importing international content. Single screen personas moving into the space where communal experiences. Not everyone's going to have data, but if I have data, we can watch a show. And that has value to an advertiser. If I can tap into a community, add value into their space, that can be monetized, and that can ultimately drive growth for the brand, income for the content player, and value for the consumer. And Hollywood style, guys, Hollywood's dead. Don't let them fool you. Hollywood's been dead for a little while now. Local content, local nuances, local audiences, and then community, that's the play.